morning. Welcome to Husky Nation News, right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. This broadcast is in collaboration with the UConn newspaper, The Daily Campus, as well as UConn's student-run TV station, UCTV. I'm your host, Allie Urban, and here's the news of the University of Connecticut this week. Our top story this week is the announcement of Lil Baby as the headliner for UConic, the annual music festival hosted by Subog. Daily Campus correspondent Brendan Barzola reports that on Monday morning, members of Subog uploaded a video on their social media platforms stating that the headliner would be revealed on Facebook in the afternoon. They went on to announce that the headliner would be 24-year-old Georgia rapper Lil Baby. Subog concert chair Ryan Bannigan says that the hip-hop genre has recently begun shifting towards mumble rap and autotune, making Lil Baby a good fit as the headliner. Despite this statement, students have shown mixed reviews in regard to Subog's choice. Subog also received backlash for announcing the headliner roughly a week before the concert, though Bannigan states that this was due to the finalization of paperwork to ensure no cancellations would happen. This year, some of the changes being made to the concert include the expansion of floor space in order to accommodate 400 more students, as well as the premiere of new merchandise. Apple is also the sponsor of this year's festival. Tickets are currently available on Subog's website, ranging from $20 to $75. A new restaurant is opening up in Storrs Center, according to Gabriella De Benedictis of the Daily Campus. Q's Noodle Bar, an Asian restaurant and karaoke bar, will be open within the next 3 weeks. Jason Poon, who is a UConn student as well as the owner's son, says that they're still waiting on the building inspection to be completed. Q's will be opening where Tang Karaoke and Barbecue used to be located, and will offer various dishes typically served in Chinese restaurants, including foods such as noodles, dumplings, and spring rolls. Poon also says that the bar, as well as 3 to 4 karaoke rooms, will be open almost every day, and that customers can either make reservations or walk in. Tang also allowed Q's to keep the karaoke rooms and respective equipment. Q's is still looking to hire waitstaff. In sports-related news, the UConn women's basketball team is heading to Tampa for their 12th straight Final Four after winning 80-73 against Louisville and Albany. Daily Campus sports editor Michael Logan writes that it was Katie Lou Samuelson who pushed the Huskies to victory with the help of her teammates, of course. Samuelson says that the team has experienced a lot of ups and downs this year, noting that there were many close games. She also expresses her excitement in the team getting to this point in the season. Good luck in the tournament, Huskies! The construction of a recreational field has been approved by University of Connecticut Board of Trustees as part of the University Athletics District Development. Daily Campus News editor Marlies Lessing writes that the board used $7.3 million in savings from the Student Recreation Center budget, as well as rec center fees. UConn CFO Scott Jordan says that the construction of the building is coming out to be under budget and that the rec center fees will be enough to fund the field. Both the recreation and athletic departments will be using the area, but it will be controlled mainly by the recreation department, who would be primary user of the space. Director of Athletics David Benedict says that the field will even allow students nighttime access and will be usable by all. The field will consist of artificial turf as well as lighting, and its construction is estimated to take roughly 2 years. This past Tuesday, a rumor saying that there was a lice infestation at the university's rec center appeared on a post in the UConn subreddit page. Daily Campus reporter Taylor Harton got deeper into the details of the alleged infestation. UConn Recreation Executive Director Cynthia Costanzo states that this rumor is false. University spokeswoman Stephanie Reitz states that health records were checked after the rumor surfaced, but no reports of lice were found. Nevertheless, numerous students posted in the Reddit page with more gossip. Additionally, some students have been avoiding the gym altogether because of this rumor, and other advise taking general caution because lice epidemics tend to spread quickly. As 8th semester Human Development and Family Studies major Nick Harriau says, the rumor is a real head-scratcher. Finally, our very own operations manager Shiratal wrote a news story on New Year celebrations for the Iranian community at UConn. Take a listen.
Celebrated on the first day of spring, Persian New Year, or Nowruz, fell this year on March 20th. 1 week before, the Iranian Association of UConn held its annual Persian New Year celebration for students and community members alike.
Oh,
Opening remarks from IAU President Brian Tassavore welcomed everyone and acknowledged their presence.
I just want to thank everyone for showing up tonight on this cold March night to celebrate Nowruz, the coming of the new year. I hope the new year brings warmth and togetherness for all, and hopefully you guys get to meet all your Nowruz resolutions.
According to members Hannah Amaripour and Sara Tavakoli, IAU tries to promote inclusivity and inform other people about Iranian culture. There are a few cultural traditions associated with Nowruz, such as Charshanbe Suri, which is performed on the eve of the new year.
It's like you like jump over fire and you're like leaving like all like the bad stuff in the last year and like starting a new year, like, and like you like say something like,
I'm say kidding. Like a verse.
What is it? It's like leave me behind. I don't know. Like
kind of just like hoping for like good luck in the new year.
Yeah.
And that's like kind of like it goes along with like spring coming along, like the flowers.
In addition to this, there's also the half seen, an arrangement of several symbolic items beginning with the letter seen in the Persian alphabet. Dr. Reza Kazemi explained the items: Sabze, Samanu, Sanjad, Sirke, Sib, Sir, and Somak.
So first is called Sabze, means something green. Normally they use wheat, barley, or lentil to soak it in water and let it, you know, to grow and create this kind of, you know, green. It's called sabze. It's a symbol of happiness and connection. The other thing is that samanu. Samanu is not common in this society, but it's like a sweet pudding made from wheat germ, symbolizing affluence. Okay. The other thing is sanjad. This is another dry food that I have not seen much here, but it's always a, you know, tree, symbolizing love. The other thing is sir or garlic. Garlic is a resembled, you know, the health and medicine. All you see in favor of, you know, good life. The other one is apples, that we call it sib. Resembles health and beauty. The other one that I, sumac, that here is kind of, you know, they say sumac berries, say it might be poisoning or so, they don't eat it on so, but in the other part of the world, there is another brand of it that is, they use it like a spice, something, you know, spicy. But it's resembling as if, because of its color, is when you wake up early morning, when the sun arises, you see there is a kind of a dark red color, that is very beautiful color. This is resembling of that color. So symbolizing the color of sunrise. The other thing is the vinegar. We call it sirke. It's resembling the passionate, being patient and aging, because this vinegar takes time, you know, to be prepared, and the longer that you store it, the better it would be. It's a matter of aging. Yes, yeah. And the other one, coins. We call it sekke. Wealth. Yeah, resembling wealth. Therefore, all of these items are in favor of wishing a good health, good life, and a happy life for people.
Students, both of Persian ancestry and otherwise, celebrated the occasion with dancing, music, and food. Kashvi Bhatt, a senior who has never celebrated the Persian New Year herself, came to join and support her friends who do.
I don't know many details about Persian New Year, but I grew up with Persian friends, so every year I would go to their Persian New Year event, so I've seen their customs and traditions, but I would like to get more knowledge of exactly what is happening and exactly what everything means. Came to support the people I know in Iranian Student Association, and I've also come to the Nowruz event for the past couple years, so it's kind of a tradition for me also at this point.
Junior Gabrielle Charbin also echoed supporting students of different backgrounds and diverse values and beliefs.
I just think it's wonderful for students from different cultures to put on events and showcase their culture to the whole UConn community. I think it's wonderful that the Iranian Student Association can put on this event to show the rest of the UConn community how they celebrate their New Year, because it's something that a lot of students aren't aware of. So it's wonderful that different students can come together and celebrate this New Year and learn more about different traditions.
For WHUS News, I'm Shira Tal.
Now, we'll hear today's weather. For April 5th, there's going to be a chance of rain, mainly after 5 p.m., cloudy with a high near 43. There will be light and variable wind, and there's a chance of precipitation around 30%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible. That's all we have for this week. We'll now be going into a short break before starting the talk segment of our show, where I'll be talking to a special guest, Operations Manager Shira Tal.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lazowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Imagine a river flowing through the sky and all of its water dropping down to Earth. That's kind of what happens during many winter storms on the West Coast. A so-called atmospheric river is a long flowing band of water vapor, typically a few hundred miles wide, that contains vast amounts of moisture. When it moves inland over mountains, the moisture rises, causing it to cool and fall to Earth as rain or snow. Dwayne Walliser of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory says atmospheric rivers are often beneficial because they provide about half of California's fresh water supply. But strong atmospheric river systems can also be dangerous, especially when they stall or produce rain on top of snow.
Virtually all the major floods that occur along the west coast of the U.S. are associated with atmospheric rivers.
He says as the climate warms, atmospheric rivers are projected to grow wider and longer. Powerful ones are also expected to become more frequent. That could increase water supply in some places.
But on the other hand, atmospheric rivers come with flood potential as well, so they're sort of a double-edged sword, so to speak.
Because even in places facing drought, when too much rain falls at once, it can cause more harm than good. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
From this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. So here with us today, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, we have our dear operation manager, Shira Tal. So, how are you doing, Shira?
I'm good. Just came from class earlier today, so, you know, it's Friday.
It's Friday. That's true.
Wimpling's coming up.
That's very true. I'm excited for that. If I could get through this weekend and my tax exam tonight, then I'll be home free.
You can get through anything, honestly.
Shira's like one of the most motivational people I know. She's an icon. She's convinced she's not cool, but she is.
Thanks.
So, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do at WUSP? Because I don't think, and you agree
Anyone
with me on
knows.
This, you've been on the
yeah.
news. You're the invisible news attendee.
That's true. That is the award I got. Yeah, so basically the operations manager is kind of like a vice president, treasurer type role. So really I'm in charge of the budget. Projects that are going on, different departments, make sure that, you know, everyone is kind of doing everything, and that's kind of basically it.
That's awesome. So now the people know what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Now people know. Now they're aware.
Yep, 100%.
So in any case, what did you want to discuss this morning? Because I know you had a topic you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so I was going to talk about the yearbook on campus, which I'm also involved with. So I'm also the marketing coordinator for Nutmeg Publishing, which is our yearbook and magazine. So Nutmeg's been around since 1915, so pretty old.
That's older than WUSP.
Yeah, exactly.
About, 7 years?
Yeah, not a lot of people know about that. But, you know, it's been around. And We've started publishing magazines since 2015. So we usually just feature like different articles on student life. One this year that we featured is on various tier three organizations. So we will be publishing that in the sometime.
It?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, we
yeah, Daniela was our point of contact. So yeah, we'll be putting that out like sometime in the near future, which I'm really excited for. But a lot of students don't know that there's even a yearbook on campus.
I did not until you told me.
Yeah, I was going to say most people don't know. So that's kind of, as marketing coordinator, my job is to like spread awareness for the yearbook.
Nice.
So just talking about it, encouraging students to get their senior portraits, which, you know, are free. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. We're finishing up yearbook portraits this week. We were at the grad fair yesterday, so students could walk in, which went, I think, really well. And then we're hopefully going to open up some more sessions, but everyone who is an undergraduate of the Source campus pays for this. So
really?
Yeah, it's part of the tier three organization. So, you know, we're student fee funded. So a lot of students aren't aware of that, but you do get a free yearbook sent to your house, upon graduation.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. So exciting stuff.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't wait to get a yearbook.
I know.
I think they're for purchase for people who aren't seniors.
They
right?
are, yep.
Yeah.
That is true.
I'll wait till it's free.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. Amanda had the idea, actually, of, I thought it was pretty cool, of compiling all 4 years into one yearbook.
Oh.
Which I've never seen at all for yearbook.
That would
but
be really cool.
Yeah, I thought
it
that
is,
was
it's like a
pretty unique.
Wholesome experience, or like a whole experience.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Have you pitched this to
I have not.
People?
No. She just mentioned it like a few days ago because she actually thought that that was the yearbook, was that it was a compilation of all 4 years of UConn. And I was like, oh, I didn't know. Like, that's kind of a cool idea, though, because if you think about it, like, the only people who are really reading it are seniors, and
that's
those
true.
Are the people getting it. So, you know, it'd be cool to kind of look back and say, like, oh, yeah, like, this is who we had for spring concert this year. And then in the future, this is, like, 4 years later, this is who we had, and see, like, how music evolves or how the campus evolves.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's something to bring to the yearbook in the future, I
guess. Yeah, definitely.
Perhaps.
For sure. We're always bouncing around ideas and stuff like that, and spreads are always changing as events happen on campus.
One of my good friends is on yearbook, but like in high school, and she was like, yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like, I miss doing that. She should have gotten involved when she was on campus here, but.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, she's not on campus anymore?
She's the one who transferred from UConn.
Oh, okay.
But no, always in our hearts. So what's your favorite like part of working for the yearbook?
Oh, I just really probably my favorite thing is just as a whole, like in terms of production, like I did yearbook in high school.
Oh, okay. So you're a legacy.
Yeah. So I'm like used to kind of seeing like how yearbooks operate and run and stuff like that.
I think
that like at the end, like it's, you know, it's kind of stressful. You're putting together copies. So that's the writing. You're putting together all the photography, all the spreads, like the design work.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of doing it throughout the year. Like maybe you have an event here or there, but it's not necessarily constantly something's being produced, and then at the end you have like this nice final product. So we have had, you know, NUMMIC has had production issues in past few years, I'm gonna be honest, but the 16-17 yearbook is actually supposed to be sent out to ship next Friday, so fingers crossed everything will turn out for that. But I just really enjoy seeing like the end product, you know, like in high school yearbook, I was like, this was my child, you know, work on this and you produce it. And then at the end, like everyone, that's kind of your legacy for the school, is that everyone can look back and see what, you know, what happened at school. And also, you know, you're in charge of kind of like making these memories that people will have to last them forever.
Nice,
they can
they
can go back and look, and it's pretty cool that, you know, five days from now, if I wanted to take out a yearbook from, you know, the 1980s, I could look at that and say like, oh, this is what UConn was like. Or even, you know, we have them dating back to the first yearbook in our office. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's cool to see how UConn's changed, and also, you know, what has stayed the same over the years.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'd like to take a look at like a really old yearbook.
They're really
cool.
Would
be, like, wild.
Yeah.
I've seen like old ones. Like, I don't know if my father has one from Poland or not. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if that was a thing, but my mom had some yearbooks, and I'm like, oh, your hair, the outfits. It's like,
yeah,
wild.
You can tell. It's funny because you can tell there's also like the ones where like spring weekend, you know, is a bigger thing, and you just see like all these kids doing crazy stuff,
like,
or like
cars on fire.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, I don't know, some of the photography is like of students with whatever alcohol in their hand that wouldn't, you know, be allowed now. So it's just interesting to see like how UConn changed. And then also there's like the very first class, which was like black and white, all men, you know, like old photos, and also just like cows everywhere because it started as an ag school. So it's cool to see the evolution. We don't really think about it a lot, but
yeah, that's very true. So what's like, what in your memory has like been the most like stressful time for you at Nutmeg?
I don't know. This year, I gotta say, this year was pretty stressful. Publishing three yearbooks at once. Wouldn't advise it to anyone.
So it was for 16 to 17, 17 to 18, and 18 to 19?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yep. So we've been a little bit behind schedule. So that's definitely been, I would say, kind of like putting out those fires, like a little bit stressful. You know, metaphorical fires here and there that arise. Aside from that, though, there hasn't really been anything in my mind that's been like really stressful, you know, in terms of like covering events or stuff like that. I'll say that it's sometimes hard to get coverage for events just because a lot of people aren't aware of who we are. So, you know, trying, I don't want to say competing with tier threes, but, you know, to really assert yourself and
so
say
who
like
do you get like people from Nutmeg just offer their
yeah, so a lot of times like we'll cover events and just say like, hey, we're looking for a press pass for this event or whatever. And you know, that can be difficult if people aren't aware of the organization and think that we're just a random club trying to, you know, take pictures. But yeah, exactly. We are tier three. So, you know, hopefully more people will recognize who we are. And I think they're open through next week. The AFU surveys are helpful to see. So that's student awareness, familiarity, and youth survey.
Even I'm not familiar.
Yeah, exactly. So that just goes out to all the students. And it's, I think we usually get around 2,000 respondents.
Is that like if you, like, oh, have you heard of this organization?
Yeah,
oh,
exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, if anyone's listening and you're doing it right now and you hear, what is the yearbook on campus? It's Nutmeg Publishing. But it's good for us to know, you know, who's aware of what we do and who's not aware, and how do we work on that as a team to make sure that people are hearing about us, are realizing that, you know, there are things like, you know, making sure their student admin's up to date so they get their yearbook, or remembering that senior portraits are happening, things like that.
Yeah. So are there any other like little miscellaneous things that Nutmeg does, or is it just like the yearbook is the main
So like I said, the yearbook is the main thing, and then we do have our magazine that we've printed. We don't print it, actually, it's online. So we did the one so this year we're doing one from last semester is focused on tier three organizations. And I believe the one for this semester is on Metanoia. So looking at the different speakers that came in, that was like David Hogg, Yara Shahidi.
Oh, yes. I think you mentioned this before.
Exactly. Yeah. So I believe that's the one for the spring semester. And then in the past we did last year one on graduation. In the previous winter we did one about like ugly sweaters and did like a whole photo shoot. We've done like festival fashion. So like in the summer you're going to music festivals.
Oh,
and then
that's nice.
We did one on John Bellion, the fall concert in 2016. And then like the BFA fashion show, we did one on the fall about like last minute Halloween costumes. We did a special one on UConic.
Yeah, so Rafi talking about last minute Halloween costumes on his show at some point.
Maybe that's possible.
I feel you were, because then he found my Instagram and he was like, this last minute costume being like a candy cane.
That one was really smart. I remember seeing that. I was like, that was good, Allie. Yeah.
That was literally going to CVS at like 9 o'clock and being, what can I figure out, like.
I feel like everyone at some point in like the span of like Halloween weekend, at some point everyone Googles last minute Halloween costumes. You're lying to yourself.
We were inspired by like people putting the Christmas decorations out mad early.
Yeah.
I was like,
that's smart. I mean, people do put it out early.
Yeah.
Maybe too early. I don't know. Hot take.
Yeah, no, well, we have a couple minutes left. So what's your take on that? Like putting decorations out like months ahead of the holiday?
I'm not a fan of it. I feel
Neither
like it, I don't know. It kind of depends on the holiday. Like, I feel like Christmas is pretty early to start doing it Halloween, but I gotta say, like, right after Halloween, I do enjoy that. You know,
Christmas
it's kind of nice. Yeah, people getting into, like, the nice Christmas spirit. Thanksgiving. But what, like, what do people put out for Thanksgiving?
Turkeys?
Like, turkeys, I guess? Like, a bunch of leaves? I don't really know. I gotta say, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm single, but, like, Valentine's Day, that annoys me to no end.
That does. But you know what the best part about Valentine's Day is? It's over, and then
and then the candy's on sale. Yeah.
Yes!
100%.
We're, like, telepathic.
100%, yeah.
No, and then, like, all the nice chocolates, you get the big boxes. Like, I think one Valentine's Day, I kid you not, like, my mother came home with, like, six of those big chocolate heart boxes, and I'm like, good God, you're going to give me diabetes.
That's so funny.
I'm really happy that this was on sale, I'm going to eat the chocolate, but like still.
But what is this? Yeah.
What is this? So much.
I got to say though, Easter makes me happy too because it's springtime coming
true.
Up.
True. Those little chocolate, you know those little chocolate lint?
Yeah. I was going to say the bunnies and like the eggs and everything.
I love those. And Cadbury eggs. What's your favorite Easter candy? And what's your favorite like holiday candy? Because you know how like they just bring them out, like they just manifest themselves on the shelves?
Yeah.
Like, all the like Terry's oranges that come out of the woodwork.
That's so true. Okay, so my favorite, I had this conversation recently because they got rid of like the candy hearts for Valentine's Day.
Are you kidding? That they really got
rid of
them?
Yeah, they got rid of, I think they're not producing them anymore.
I didn't like the taste, but I like to read them.
Yeah, they were cute. I feel like those were like the classic Valentine's Day candy, but I'm a really big fan of like the Lick 'em sticks, you know?
Is that the stuff you dip into the powder?
Yeah, Fun Dip.
I love those.
Yeah, so I got to say, that's probably one of my, like, favorite seasonal candies. Good. And I just associate it with Valentine's Day. But I guess now they also make, they made, like, an Easter version that's just, like, a lighter color, like, purpley, like purple-blue powder. So I got to say, that's probably one of my favorite seasonal. And also, obviously, chocolate. Like, you can't go wrong with chocolate.
No, you can't. You can't.
Yeah.
What's my favorite candy? I really like, I love Terry's oranges for around like the winter holidays.
Yeah, I was gonna say winter.
And I don't know why they don't continue to have them year round. It's like a tragedy that they don't have Terry's oranges because they have them like year round in the UK.
Interesting. I wouldn't associate that with a year round thing.
You had a Terry's orange. Right?
Yeah, of course.
I love
of
them.
Course.
Yeah.
They're so fun to like break too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people don't know what they are. And I'm like, how have you never had a Terry's orange?
I didn't know that was the name of them. I just called them like chocolate oranges.
So did I.
I didn't realize there was like a name, but it makes sense.
Yes. Because there's knockoff ones. And I'm like, this is not.
You're like this
original.
Tastes so gross.
I never thought the knockoff was like that bad, but it's not like the original. So
yeah.
I knew it was different.
Yeah, you can always tell.
You can always tell. Yeah. That's very true.
Good stuff.
Do you have any other topics in the last couple minutes of your interview you want to discuss?
How are you feeling for general manager next year?
Ooh, yeah, because like surprise, I'm the general manager for next year. So I'm feeling really excited about it. I know it's going to be a challenge because it's like a big position in the station. But I'm ready to, like, take on that challenge. Right now, like, I've been meeting, like, with Amanda. Like, I should probably meet with her again, honestly, to, like, keep going over things to, like, transition into the role. But I've been on the board for, like, the past roughly 2 years. So, like, I kind of am aware of how things work. But at the same time, it's going to be a different role, too. So I just hope I can transition into it right.
You'll be good. And especially, like you said, you've had the past experience. Right. So you're familiar with how the organization works. Yeah. So it'll definitely make for a smoother transition.
Exactly. It's just going to be a shame you're only going to be here for one semester.
I know. It's true. It's going to be really unfortunate. Do you have any big projects or ideas for WHUS?
My main thing is the studio upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really want to, like, tackle that.
Yeah, definitely.
And there were also some things with the tower that I was, like, interested in, mainly because there were, like, some accounting issues related to it, like leases.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, get me the lease for that because I want to, like, analyze this and classify it. And I did well on my exam on Monday, so, like, I think I'm qualified to talk about leases. And
I would trust you. I would trust you to do my taxes, Allie.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, very exciting studio upgrades. We actually are flying Daniela, news department, and a few others.
She's right here.
Yeah, she's right here next to us. But we're flying out a few people to the NAB conference in Vegas. So they're leaving on Sunday, I believe. Hopefully everyone will have a safe flight, come back with some nice recommendations because, you know, studio's got to be upgraded.
Exactly. Can't have obsolete equipment.
Very exciting, though.
Okay. In any case, that's all the time that we have today. Thank you very much for coming on the show, Shira.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. And thank you very much to the listeners for listening to our show. Thank you to The Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us. And thank you to Ethan Smith, who is the creator of our theme music. I've been your host, Allie Urban, and you're listening to WHUS Stories 91.7 FM. And have a wonderful weekend.